Hello, hello! You are listening to CPA Career Path Podcast with Rosie Flaherty, CPA MSA. This is episode number 7. We have two special guests today. Crystal from private accounting, or you can call industry. She is a general accounting senior manager at Watkins Manufacturing Corporation. And we also have Danielle from public accounting. She is an audit senior manager at CB's MHM. Hi, Crystal and Danielle. Thank you so much for the interview today. First and foremost, can you both introduce a little bit about yourself?
So I'm Crystal Taylor. I live, I'm based out of California. I live with my, here with my husband and my two little ones. And I started out in public accounting. That's how Danielle and I met. And now I work in industry, and I've been in industry about 10 years now.
Yeah, and hi, I'm Danielle. I am still in public accounting. I've been in public accounting for about 14 years. I live in Arizona with my family, my husband and my daughter. And that's how I actually met Crystal and Rosie, is through public accounting.
So actually, Danielle and I, we worked together at CBS when I just joined public and I was doing an audit. And then after that, I changed my mind. I said, well, actually, tax is my thing, not audit.
Yeah, I couldn't convince you that audit was good, but I think you're on the right path.
That's interesting because a lot of people, well, they don't know what they like. And then they start in college with like tax and they just stay with it and they never try audit. And so they never think that audit could be their passion. And so I had a chance to try both. But like for both of you at the very beginning, why did you pick audit and you never change it?
Well, I picked audit because honestly, my birthday was in April and I just didn't want to deal with the tax deadlines. And I just thought, oh, I'll just try audit. It wasn't very strategic in the beginning. I had actually started on a different career path and went to school and got a master's in accounting. So I was switching to accounting and my master's program, I went full time. So it didn't take very long. And I sort of just made a decision. I just thought I'd like the audit side better.
Yeah, but like, have you ever tried tax, Crystal?
No, not outside of just, you know, school, having a tax course and that and doing, you know, of course, personal taxes. But anything outside of that professionally, I haven't.
I see. Yeah. So yeah, how about you, Danielle? Well, why you pick audit for the whole time?
Yeah, for the whole time. I really liked my tax classes in school. In fact, my professor was kind of upset that I took audit, an audit position, because he was like, you do so good. Okay. Like he had this, his final exam was to actually prepare a return and he had all these tricky things. And I got within $3 of the right answer. And it was like the best he ever had. Oh, and I was like, well, I took 25 hours to do it. I don't think anyone else probably spent that long, but I think that I just wanted to meet a lot of people and you got in front of clients a lot sooner in audit. And again, I think when you're right out of school, you don't know. And so I just was like, well, I know I'll be in the field a lot and I'll meet a lot of people. And I liked that. And I didn't necessarily have expectations for myself to stay or go, but I don't think that there was a lot of like strategy involved. I did always have a passion for business and how companies run versus like managing their tax side of things. I got into accounting primarily because I loved business, but I don't think it was more than that. So
back to the very beginning, when you started in college, for both of you, why did you decide to go with accounting? Did anyone recommend you or how you figured out that is going to be your major?
So my undergraduate degree is actually in hospitality and tourism management. And I did work for Hilton for a couple of years after I graduated with my bachelor's. And then I knew I wanted something different. And to go back to school. So I did go back and get my master's. And when I actually applied for the MBA program, but because I had also gotten my undergrad at the same school, they reached out to me and they said, you know, the MBA program is going to be, you know, very similar to your undergrad core courses. Do you want to get a master's and focus in a specific area? And I looked through my options and I felt accounting was really going to give me a set career path once I finished school, meaning kind of a set skill set and a set, you know, a set position versus maybe more, you know, something more broad or, you know, not necessarily kind of a direct clear path to certain avenues of, you know, a position after I finished school. So that's really why I picked accounting. And I did actually in school, I took some accounting courses. I always did very well. I liked it. So really that was the basis for my decision to go into accounting and to study that to begin with.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, does anyone choose accounting? That's not like a very practical choice. Probably not. Right. But I actually did my senior high school project on accountants. And so I had all this research done. I don't know why. I'm like laughing at myself. But my uncle's a CPA. I had no idea what a CPA was, by the way. I don't think I figured that out until like my sophomore year in college. Like, I didn't know what a CPA was. My uncle was, but we didn't live close. But my dad told me, I think you'd be good at accounting. So I think ran with it. Like I said, I liked doing business stuff. Like I always thought I would run a business. In fact, I think if I was 18 when social media was around, I would have been the person like trying to launch a business, like whatever. I think I always did like selling things like cookies and stuff when I was little. I embarrassingly had little board meetings with my friends. So I think that it was just recommended to me, hey, you'd probably be good at this. And then also it kind of fit into like my passion for like, I just wanted to know how businesses ran. And I thought, well, I could go run my own business if I learn accounting. So, and here I am in public accounting still.
That's very interesting that you have such a very cool childhood to try to run business and then have a meeting.
Yeah. I don't know where I learned that from because my dad's a chemistry person and my mom's a teacher. So I don't know where I got that from, but I just remember we were deciding how to spend the money. Like, so we had like notes and stuff to like vote on where we were going to spend the money we raised from our neighbor buying all of our cookies. One neighbor.
So. How did you make your friends listen to you at that time?
I think I was just bossy. I was a little older than them. So
you have that like busyness in your blood when you were very little?
I do. It's caused problems down the line, like when I have, you know, in my career, needing boundaries and stuff and not wanting any, right? Wanting to do everything. But overall, like now that I've learned some of that stuff, I can play to my strengths too.
Is that because you both so passionate about accounting? So you set up the website Accounting with Friends?
Yeah. So we have a website called Accounting with Friends. And our hope is that we can provide resources on your path to becoming an expert in the accounting industry. I think, though, that really our passion behind that was we both struggled on our individual careers getting to that, like learning to that expert level. And we do like the people we work with and have a passion for like teaching and explaining things. And it kind of came together of, why should everybody have to go through so much friction to get to that expert level? And of course, you need friction to learn, right? You need to have some sort of resistance to overcome where you are now to where you're going to be. But we go through like the weeds too much, I think. And I just always told Crystal, in fact, I was like, what is expected of me? What am I supposed to be doing? And I felt like there's a place for us to be like, hey, we've been through it, and here's some of the expectations. Like getting people there faster is kind of, I think, our passion there. So maybe Crystal has some stuff to add too, but
I think it sort of was, so I had had my second baby and I had gone back to work. It was during COVID. So we had been working from home and came back from maternity leave. Some, you know, people had changed, personnel had changed when I came back. So it wasn't the same group that I came back to. And I was just sort of feeling like, I want like a community, like where's my support system? I had kind of lost that between COVID and just personnel changes at work and not working. You know, once you're in industry, your group is a little smaller. And you don't have such a pool of professionals that you're working with on, you know, doing the same thing that you're doing. And I just kind of, I remember I text Danielle when I was, you know, sitting there feeding my baby one evening. And I was like, have you ever thought about doing something more? And she's like, yes. And it just sort of, we ran with it from there. So that was over a year ago now. Yeah.
You both mentioned about struggles. And I know that not just only two of you, but a lot of us, like we struggle with things and we try to figure out ourselves. And then it takes so long. Like it took me almost a decade to figure out that I like tax. And then I was in college. I was so involved with all the accounting clubs and society. I didn't think that I wanted to be a CPA until I got my master's degree. And so like, we need all these resources and we need to at least like know where to find information to deal with our struggle. But talking about struggle, what struggles that you both went through?
I think for me, I think what there was kind of two pivotal points in my accounting career. And one was when I decided to leave public accounting, which was a very hard decision. I struggled with it quite a bit, actually. I mean, when you're in public accounting, as you know, you have a clear path to success, to growth, the opportunity is there. So it's sort of unknown, right, to leave that and to go on to something else. But at that time, I just needed something different. I think, you know, where we worked, we were running really lean at the time. I was out at clients by myself a lot. So I had a public client and then I had, you know, regular busy season clients. And then I was also on the, nonprofit group also. So I had almost two busy seasons, because their year end was often different. So I, you know, Danielle and some of my peers were in the office in the summer, doing employee benefit audits, you know, having fun. And I was still out at clients. I think I just got a little burnt out and I needed, you know, to change it up. And I probably wasn't the best at communicating that, you know, I was in terms of, you know, my supervisors or managers, I wasn't in, you know, I didn't communicate, oh, this is, I'm getting burnt out here. Which now, you know, as you grow in your career, you learn to do some of those things. So I made the decision to leave. So that was probably one of the more challenging times in my career, but it worked out great. I found a great company that I'm still with and I've had great opportunity there. So that's really worked out well.
But you're talking about burnout. Is that because you did not meet a boundary?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I didn't have necessarily. I have a tendency to do everything or try to do everything that's asked of me. So if someone says, oh, can you help with this? Do you want to do this? Can you help with this project? Can you do this job? I you know, try to do everything I can. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity with that. But yeah, it's definitely about, you know, creating boundaries and, you know, pacing yourself.
Now, when you have more opportunities, and then you have more experience in your work life balance, if you could go back to that time, what could you have done?
I think I would have just, you know, communicated and not, and also said, okay, communicated more everything I had on my plate. I have these three things. I can't realistically get them all done at the same time. Help me reprioritize. Does something need to go somewhere else? Like, you know, what I think. That's something I wasn't doing. I was just sort of internalizing it and keeping all three things and trying to get them done this week instead of communicating and asking for help and support and asking, you know, those above me to help me to prioritize. You know, maybe something could have waited till the next week. And I wasn't necessarily good about communicating that at that time.
I know three of us, we all work at CBIS, and at CBIS, we have buddy systems, and we also have career advisor systems. Did you have those systems back that time?
We had career advisors, but that was the only kind of program at that time to kind of help guide you. So we did have career advisors. So I even with my career advisors, I mean, we had different touch points, but I probably didn't communicate often enough to really, you know. It was probably the touch points were probably, you know, too spread out. I probably didn't communicate often enough in between those touch points to, you know, kind of the buildup of, you know, it sort of is something that happens gradually over time where it just becomes, you know, you're tired, you're burnt out, you just can't keep going at your same pace.
So is that fair to say that for any young employees or like young CPAs right now listening to this podcast or watching this video, that if they have any buddy or career advisor system at their company, or we call supporting system at their company, they should communicate as soon as possible when they feel burnout and when they feel that they
need Yes, definitely. And I would even encourage people, you know, their career advisor, if that's, you know, or equivalent of that, if that's who they feel comfortable with. But even these seniors and managers, you know, depending on your level, whoever's above you that you're working with on that job, you know, say I'm also being asked to do this, or, you know, just communicate, with the people you're working with directly on projects too.
Thank you. I think that challenge, that's a very common challenge that a lot of us are facing with to avoid, burning out or setting boundaries. Yes. How about Danielle? What was your challenge?
Oh, definitely. I think that I have had two big ones in my career. One when I was a new senior, and then one after I became a mom. But I think that it's important to know that this can happen to anyone at any point in their career. And so it's not like, oh, I figured it out and now I'm good. Like, you have to have guards up all the time, I think, because, you know, you have a lot of roles in your life that you're balancing, and you got to maintain yourself to like, no, I only can do so much in a day and that's all I can do. Right. But I think that, especially for me, that has the personality of, I want to do everything. I don't want to miss out. And I have FOMO in the ways of so many ways, right? Like, and I have to really guard against accepting too much and being realistic. But I would say that I struggled, like as an early senior, I struggled because I didn't have the project management tools to be successful yet developed. And I really struggled with over-promising and under-communicating. And I always felt that, how could anyone possibly not understand what I'm going through, right? Like, of course I have too much to, like, the communication thing, just, I didn't understand when people told me, you need to communicate better. I just didn't understand. I'm like, how can you not understand? Like, I was like, what am I not communicating? That's how lost I was. But really, no one can read your mind. They don't know all the things you're worried about. And I think it's hard as a senior to understand what the high level picture is. Even if you understand the industry that you're working in really well, like if you're in public accounting or industry and you understand that business really well, it's hard to know what everybody's talking about, the different priorities, the pressures from clients. So I think it's just, I really struggled during that phase, and I struggled with burnout too. One of the things I did realize though, that I had a ton of vacation that I just wasn't taking, that I felt very pressured to, I think not anybody directly explicitly pressuring me, don't take vacation. I felt like, how could I possibly take it when I have all this going on? Which as a manager now, I feel looking at my baby self, my senior self, I'm like, take a vacation. Like nothing is on fire here. That is, we can't rearrange or talk about, like, yeah, do the things that you need to take care of yourself, because yeah, it's accounting, right? Like we're dealing with stuff that happened in the past. Take a breath, do the best you can during the hours that you have, shut down for the night and go about your real life. And, you know, it's going to be, it's not school where you get like a final exam and a break. This is going to keep going. So I think I didn't have those skills and I really struggled, you know, until I could take some ownership of the process and realize like, no is okay to say. And yeah, I'm kind of rambling now at this point, but I think that that was what I struggled with, is just understanding what was okay to say no to.
I think you brought up a really, really good point, is that over-promising and under-communicate. I think it's just like so common, because like for people who really care about the job, they really want to say, yes, right, I will get this done this by this Thursday. But and then when we actually do the job and then things come up, and then you cannot finish by Thursday. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like something bad going to be happen. But all I need to do is just, oh, actually this thing happened, so I cannot deliver by this Thursday, but by this Friday, something like that. But it's just so difficult to say it.
I got that on all my evals for like years. Like it took me so long to figure it out. I mean, and I would try to implement stuff, right? And I just, until I could figure out how to concisely, clearly say, like not beat around the bush. I mean, I wish I could go back and look at some of my emails about reporting and I'd probably be like, yeah, of course they didn't know what you were doing. You're like trying to like spin a story about why, but, and all of it's valid, right? I was really doing that. But the point is, I'm working on this first, then this, and then this, and until this gets finished, I'm not going to the second one, right? That's the reality. And so once I finally just was like, here's my list, this is the order I think I should be working on, and then give them updates, hey, I'm still on number one. It's really not hard to do. It's just hard to get it through our mind, I think, of that's it. That's what I need to do. I mean, and then we have so much pressure because there's so many deadlines. There's so many asks. Like people are going to keep asking forever. Hey, do you have time for this? This is very important. And it's hard to learn how to say, well, I'm happy to do whatever task you want me to do, but this is the order I think. Is that okay with you? And some managers will be like, oh, well, you know, I need all of those done. Right. And that's not helpful. So I think it's both ends, but mainly you can stick up for your own boundaries and you have the power to be like, I understand all of them need to be done. I will do my best, but I'm starting with this first one and I will check in with you as I go, right? And then your check-ins are, you know, I'm still working on number one. This is where I think this is the method I'm doing. I'm still working on it. And if they want to reroute you, they can give you a call, but yeah, of course we want it all done. That's it. That's a given, but we just have to kind of keep on setting those boundaries. Just because you said it one time doesn't mean they're not going to continue to ask.
How often you check in with people about your progress? That's very difficult for me to decide how often I should check in with people. And especially when I move from audit to tax, because for audit, we communicate so much. I cannot emphasize how much we communicate in audit. And I still feel, I think the first year when I moved to tax, and I just keep updating every 2 or 3 hours to the point I feel like, I don't think it's necessary for tax because we have like individual like tax return. We finish from beginning to the end, not like for audit. Mm-hmm. We have like the whole group working on each section of audit. Mm-hmm. And so to the point, I just tell myself that, okay, this is too much for me to keep updating people every 2 or 3 hours. Like, is this not audit? But and then sometimes I feel like I don't know if that's enough to check in, to tell people my progress. So what is a good time you think is appropriate to check in with people?
I think you have a good point, Rosie. It depends on your team. And like for tax, if your project's going to take you 20 hours, you know, you probably don't need to check in every 3, you know, great, I'm 10% done. You know, like I think audit, especially in the beginning of your career, you know, like maybe you have a budget of 2 hours for cash if you're on a small, you know, engagement or something. But and that 2 hours encompasses like review notes and everything. So if you spend an hour and you barely set up the work paper, you better be talking to someone because you're that's just, I view the budget as a communication device, right? Like if my manager said, hey, I expect it to be 2 hours, including me reviewing and then giving you some feedback for you to incorporate, then by hour one, I better be significantly done, right? And if I'm not, then I need to like ping them and ask them a question because something, expectations versus reality is not happening, right? There's some difference happening. And that, if we're talking an hour, that lends itself to you are communicating much more. Now, I think in reality, you might get it to a certain point, have a question, organize your questions, go to your next task, organize, and maybe you're only touching base with your senior once a day or something. But I think that because we audit breaks up the project so small, you really have to clearly understand the expectation to be able to communicate appropriately. But if I think that if you know what your list is and you prioritize it, that's the best communication tool I think you have, because you can say, number one, this is where I'm at. Is this where you expect me to be? You know, so I think it depends, but you know, more often early in your career and as you get to know the projects, less often because you're better at communicating. That's probably not the best answer people are looking for. There's no rule. I think just the more clear and concise you can be, the better it helps your team. Because if you're long-winded like me and you're telling 5 stories, you know, it's hard to be like, wait, what does she actually need? But if you can be like, I'm really struggling on cash because the confirmations aren't reconciling, that's way easier for a senior to be like, okay, let me jump in and look at that. Then I spent an hour trying to tie this out and the GL was organized, but then I fixed it. And then, you know, like telling your whole story that you got there. That was me, by the way. So yeah, it depends is the tried and true answer.
Yeah, I agree. It depends, I think. And also just the point, I think earlier in your career, more often is better. I mean, you don't want to spin your wheels on things. You want to, you know, reach out before you're using the whole budget just because you get stuck on something. So especially, you know, an audit. So, but even in industry, I think that's, you know, the case where earlier in your career, you reach out more often, you have more touch points. In industry, it's cyclical. So, you know, different times of the month, you know, all levels, my team and I during month end, we talk all day long, you know, for about a week. And then other than that, our our touch points are more spaced out. Most of my team I talk to and touch base with at least once a day, but every once in a while I'll skip a day, just depending on who it is and what the workload is and what we're working on. But I think the main point is, the more the better early in your career, I think I would say.